This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for the introduction. And today we have got an interesting subject, and it is, again, we always have got interesting subjects, I think, but here we go. I wish we could go live and have a call in as well here at the radio station here at BPN Radio and the Christian War Room. The big question is, being offended, what is it all about? Yeah. I mean, one thing I notice is that that youngsters, especially youngsters, millennials, they pretty much get offended about anything. So you say something, they get offended. They say something which doesn't even offend them directly, but is maybe, you know, aimed at a different group or something, they feel obliged to take up the defense for this group, even though they've got nothing to do with them, even though they don't know them, and you know, this is no link to that. So they then have to do something about it, and they have to tell you off and correct you and so on. I want to ask a couple of questions to start you off, and maybe you can answer them yourself, and then we're going to go through them bit by bit. So the first question is, where did it come from, you know, this being offended business? Where did it come from? When did it happen? I mean, I sort of remember that when I was a kid, of course, people were offended, but it wasn't a big issue. You know, you could pretty much say what you wanted. When you look at some comedies which were played out in the 70s and 80s, and you could see them on TV. I mean, today they're so politically incorrect that they would be switched off straight away. And if they were to show them, you could probably guarantee millions of people phoning in, even though it doesn't offend them directly, but they feel they have to speak on behalf of somebody else. Yeah. Now, the next question is, what is the threshold of being offended? Yeah, what is the threshold? And that's a big question. Who decides, you know, when you are going to be offended or not? You know, if somebody, I used to be ginger, probably not that much anymore, but if somebody says something against ginger people, which here in Britain used to be a common joke about ginger people, and I mean, I couldn't care less. I'm thick-skinned in this thing, but should I be offended? Should some people be offended? And I don't know. You know, where's the threshold? You know, what can you do? What can't you do? What can you say? What can't you say for fear of offending somebody because people choose to be offended? The next question is it fashionable to be offended? And I think the answer is very clearly yes. There seems to be some sort of fashion element in there where it's cool to be offended about something, you know, either for a group of people or for people you stand for, or maybe you feel offended yourself about who you are and what you are. And I find it very often interesting as well. So, you know, you use certain terms, and one of the terms I have to think of is brainstorming. And I was told off in one instance that I can't use this term brainstorm anymore, but I have to use a different term, which I don't remember which one it was. It was maybe mind mapping or whatever. Because people who've got an epileptic fit might be offended with that, or suffer of epilepsy might be offended with that because there's an electric storm going on in their brain. So you can't call it a brainstorm. I would like to speak to people who suffer of epilepsy whether the term brainstorm really offends them, especially as it is meant in a different form. Yeah. It goes a little bit like that, that I can't call a tank with chains and a gun a tank anymore, because the fish in an aquarium might be offended if you are like the ones in a fish tank, if you call a tank, because a fish tank hasn't got a gun or something. This is sort of the absurdity which I see sometimes in this conversation, you know, about being offended. And I think some of the stuff that comes out there is downright absurd. Why do people tell us to be offended about something? Big question, and it seems to be all over the place. So you go to the media, you listen to the public media, and all the time you hear something which is offensive, and you can't say this. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Why do we need to be told what is offensive and what isn't offensive? It all reminds me of 1984 with the speech police, yeah, and redefining words, freedom is slavery and things like that, where all these Orwellian terms come out of it. I started reading it at one stage. I should really go back into it and read it through, because I think what George Orwell was seeing, and I think he wrote it in 1948, but he was predicting in 1948 is pretty much coming to plan now. And I'm not sure where it's all coming from. I think it's completely and utterly mad. And we have to steer against it. I sort of remember when I was at work with all this political correctness, we, you know, the staff members amongst us, we had this agreement that almost like a code of honor, that anything said within these four walls stays within these four walls. So this is a politically correctness free zone, and that it's a free speech zone. So nobody is going to grass up on anybody else for anything that's been said. And this code lasted for about, I don't know, years, I think, maybe 4 or 5 years or something. And then one staff member got slightly upset and broke this code. And obviously it became, at that point, unbearable. So nobody sat in the office anymore. We went somewhere else. But it was a bit of a problem. But it's the culture we're living in today. It's changed. It's migrated to something which I don't think is good anymore. Is there anything left like a non-offensive culture? I kind of think that the culture we had about 20, 30 years ago was relatively non-offensive. You know, people didn't take offense at the slightest thing. Yeah, you could pretty much say what you wanted. If you said something stupid, people might, you know, roll their eyes or whatever. But they weren't offended by it. Yeah. You weren't sort of getting told off every 5 minutes for not using the correct verbiage or the correct words. The next big problem is, so you can be offensive, and inevitably everybody is offensive. So if I like the color red, and I think the color red is the best color ever, somebody who likes the color green might be offended by that. Yeah. Even though it's not an insult, it's just a preference. But it could be construed as being offensive. Now, the big question is, you are being offensive inevitably very often, you know, just by our preferences or what we like and what we dislike, and somebody else might like it and finds it quite offensive. Where does hate speech talk start? Yeah. Where are the links between being offensive and hate speech? And it's very important as well. So, for example, if, you know, I take a bizarre example, something about cakes. Yeah, I like strawberry cake, and I think a raspberry cake is the worst thing that's ever been invented. Just an example. Somebody who really, really likes raspberry cake might be offended because I'm really downing raspberry cake. And they're really upset about this, and they feel, you know, this might even be a hate speech against raspberry cakes. Can it be construed that far? And I think some of the stuff that is going on today where I say there are certain things which I don't like, there are certain opinions I don't like, there are certain ideas I don't like, and if I verbalize this, then people say whatever I'm saying is hate speech. And it's interesting as well when you look at some of the hate speech legislation that's been pumped out in the last couple of years, and you see where this goes. Now, once we talk about hate speech, we have to look at free speech as well. Where are the links? Yeah? Where are the links between hate speech and free speech? Yeah, where are the limits between one and the other? It's a very, very big question, and I think it's our life, our culture that's at stake here. And I'm not quite sure where it comes from and what the aim is. I think the aim is pretty much the lowest common denominator. Stifle discussion, stifle debate, because debate could very easily turn into hate speech, and so you have to stifle it, and you create some sort of lowest common denominator, one word, blah de blah, and if you don't stick to it, they're going to get you. They're going to get you. I mentioned a couple of examples of offenses. One offense is, lame. I've looked up this word lame, so you could say, oh, this concert was really lame. Some people get quite upset about this. Apparently, some disability group in America said you can't use this anymore. And I think they, from what I understand, they got in touch with Tumblr, and Tumblr has now got some, you know, when you write a text or you blog on something, they've got some software that go through to try and, you know, look for politically incorrect words. So we've got the speech police out there, and the speech police is then, you know, making sure you use all the words in the correct way. And to me, this is quite concerning. So some group can come along, and I mean, I'm not having anything against people who suffer of a disability when I say a concert is lame. I'm not quite sure where this comes from. I'm not saying that I would use this terminology. I would probably use a different terminology, but it kind of disturbs me that people are prescribing to you, you know, with some sort of thought police or word police, what you can say and what you can't say. And this really disturbs me. If people say, I think as a person, every person's got the right to say something stupid without fear of prosecution. I mean, you're not hurting anybody. You are not. All you're doing is you're just using words. You're not hurting anybody. You're not violent. You're not taking something away from somebody. There's no fraud or anything like that involved. All you're doing is you're just using words. And some people choose to be offended by it, and some people choose to be offended on behalf of other people who could be potentially offended by a certain word. We've got other things as well. We've got Islamophobia, homophobia, and I think in Canada there was this big thing of outlawing Islamophobia. A phobia is something you don't like. Yeah, you have got an aversion. You don't want anything to do with it. Why can't I have an aversion against Islam or, you know, the homosexual lifestyle? Why can't I be against transgenderism? Yeah, it's against nature, so why can't I be against it? Yeah, nature pretty much defines gender in one way or another. So it's a big question. You know, why can't you voice your opinion? And the question is, why do people who have got a criticism within this area, why do they need to be silenced straight away? You know, big question. And yet, on the other side, yeah, we've got groups from within Islam who criticize Christianity heavily and say things which aren't true about Christianity either. And that's okay. There's no prosecution or anything like that. We get the same from the LGBT community going heavily against Christianity for their stand on the issue, which is, in my opinion, okay. You can stand against it. You can make a statement to that effect, but again, why are we silenced? Why are we not allowed to say anything against it or to refrain from celebrating it? So the problem we have is open discussion inevitably leads to offense, and what's the answer? You know, and this is pretty much what it goes to, that there's only one agenda. There's one agenda which is pushed from somewhere, who knows from where it is. And if you go against this agenda, straight away you find yourself outside the law and you need to be dealt with. And that is sort of the direction we are aiming to. And that is the end and the death of free speech. And so all you can do is you can just go into your own little corner and hope that the people will not betray you, and you can say what you want within your little circle. Go outside the circle and you're in danger. It reminds me of East Germany, when East Germany under communism, I mean, people were relatively free. You could have any opinion about anything, but providing it wasn't political. If it was political and you'd criticize the state, pretty much every second person was a state informer, you were in danger of ending up in serious trouble or being disadvantaged when, you know, for jobs and for distribution and so on. So there was a very strict control, and free speech was anything but a given within this. But I feel that nowadays we are sort of heading into the same direction of where the people in East Germany were. Okay, being offended. Going back to what is it all about to be offended? And it is a narcissistic feature. Yeah. is narcissism. Being offended is narcissism. So it's being in love with yourself. You know, it's inflated self-importance. You are really, really important. You are the be-all and end-all, and somebody dares to scratch on your image, on your status, on what you present or who you are. And at that point, you choose to be offended. Ultimately, it comes down to one thing, which from a biblical point of view is not very good, and that is pride. It's a wrong sense of pride. And anybody goes against you, then you've got the right to go on the barricades and to use any force available to you to try and silence that person. Very often it's down, people choose to be offended. It's a fashion of being offended, you know, that's a cool thing these days, and you have to go into your safe space to be okay and to be mentally sane again. But there's something else in there as well, and I think a lot of people don't recognize this. Once I, you know, use the threat of being offended, and I sort of come along and I say, I'm going to take measures if you offend me. So I will report you, and then it goes all the way up the system, and then the powers to be have to, take measures, which could be you lose your job or you get fined, you get punished or whatever. So they use the threat of being offended to control and manipulate others. Yeah. So, for example, I present something which, you know, would go to a minority. So for example, over here, I'm German, yeah, and some people they make fun about me, and it's affected this all my life, and it's not a problem, yeah, that the Second World War, you had the whole Nazi thing, and very often somebody makes a jovial comment about the German past, the German history, with reference to me. Today, I think it wouldn't happen anymore, but it did happen in the past an awful lot. I didn't care. Yeah. It was just a bit of fun, a little bit of messing about and, joviality and stuff like that. And I haven't got a problem with that. Later, I mean, people were calling me Schumacher because Michael Schumacher was a good racing driver. I'm not into racing. I don't know what it is. I would think that a millennial today, or some people today, they could, a snowflake could take offense in that as well, because you've got nothing to do with racing, or why should you be compared to that person? It's a little bit of fun. People don't mean, you know, bad by it. And if they do, it's not the end of the world. But again, people do get offended by that. So the problem we've got sometimes is that people take themselves too serious and they elevate themselves above the rest, and they feel they've got the right to, to police speech and to take action and to create a lot of problems for other people when this takes place. Okay, let's have a look at hate speech. The hate speech thing is very difficult. In Germany, there used to be a version in law, hate speech. If you commit hate speech, it's a terrible crime and, you know, it can be punished very severely. But then you try to find in the definition, in the law, what hate speech is, and there's no definition. So if somebody feels offended, at that point you have committed hate speech. Yeah. So it's just, we are back with the strawberry and raspberry cake. You know, the raspberry cake is really, really bad and really rubbish or whatever, and I don't like it whatsoever. Before you try and prosecute me or whatever, I do like raspberry cake as well. Just to make the point, I'm just using this as an example. But again, if somebody feels offended because somebody makes a statement about raspberry cake, then that constitutes hate speech according to German law. I think if it ever came to a court case, a judge would probably have, still 2 ounces of common sense left and throw it out. But who knows? So we've got a problem. We've got free speech. And free speech will inevitably result in taking offense. Taking offense can be construed as hate speech. Hate speech can be construed as verbal abuse or abusing people. Again, abusing people in the past used to be when somebody got beaten up to an inch of his life. And people got hospitalized or they were tormented or tortured or whatever. Nowadays, it could be, the raspberry cake issue. That could be considered or construed as abuse. And I've heard cases where people said, oh, he abused me, and what did he do? And he just said an unkind word. unkind words are said all the time. So, yeah. So what? And then the whole thing could lead to litigation. So you might, you know, end up that people feel so hard done by because somebody said a harsh word that it leads to litigation. Yeah. And in that point, you've got society stifled. You know, free speech is gone, debate is gone. You can't say anything to anybody anymore. And you've got this stifling phenomenon within society, you know, where society cannot develop anymore. And people don't realize what is going on and how serious this whole thing is. And again, I applaud the Americans for their First Amendment. I think it's the First Amendment, the free speech one, or second, I'm not sure. But I applaud the Americans for embracing free speech to that extent. And again, here in Britain and Germany, there's nothing like that embedded into law. You know, you don't have free speech as such. It can be curtailed legally. And again, it's a pity, but that's the case. People think it's embedded in the law, but it is not. Big question as well is who defines what hate speech is? You know? Okay, the Christian view of being offended. We've got about 9 minutes left here. Number one is forgiveness. You know, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. We need to forgive everybody, and it's a key. People go against us. They say stupid things. Sometimes they don't think about what they say. Sometimes it's deliberate, but they feel sorry afterwards. Sometimes they're just downright evil, and they just go against us. But what we need to do is we need to live a life of forgiveness as Christians, and that is what we are called upon. It's easy said, it's hardly done. You know, done with great difficulty. I know one woman who gave a home to a homeless person, and anyway, this homeless person murdered her daughter. Yeah. And that is the ultimate forgiveness, I think, you have to give, where you have to forgive yourself, you have to forgive that person. And she was really struggling. It was ever so hard. So I know how hard it can be. And my prayer goes out for this person that she will find it in her heart to forgive the ultimate. And I'm convinced, you know, there's a big fat crown waiting for her in heaven, you know, for doing this, for going this way. But we have to do this. We have to forgive. And that is really, you know, one of the main tenets within Christianity. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if somebody hits you on the right cheek, you know, turn to him the left cheek as well. Again, you know, we don't seek offense. People offend us, we overlook the offense. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, it says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Okay, a person's wisdom yields patience. So if you are wise, you get patience because you understand all the, you know, what people makes people tick and all that. And then it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It's a great thing. It's greatness. It's true greatness if you can overlook an offense and say, it's okay, don't worry. We're going to deal, you know. I'm trying to be kind to you, even though you're nasty to me. But look, you know, I love the Lord. The Lord loves me, and there's so much love in my life that there's enough love for you as well, even though you may hate me. Yeah. There's 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says here that therefore, Peter talks about Jesus, yeah, being the cornerstone. And it says here in chapter 2, verse 7, therefore, to you who believe, he is a precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumbled being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. So it talks about Jesus being a cornerstone, and some people, they take... To them, it's a stone of stumbling. It's a rock of offense. People take offense at Jesus. It's a big problem. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 5 to 7, it says, and it's, you know, John was worrying what's going on, you know, is Jesus the one we are waiting for? And then Jesus gave a message back to him and said, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And there's a real thing there, that people just get offended by the gospel. They get offended by Jesus. It's real. They do get upset, you know. Preach the gospel to somebody, a lot of people just don't want to hear it. They do get offended. Yeah. And it's more so today than what it's ever been before. Christianity is considered to be bigotry. Bigotry is considered to be the next bad thing to murdering somebody or beating a puppy to death or whatever. Yeah, that is sort of the way it's construed, and it's getting more so. Matthew 24, and this is where, you know, part of this talk, we've got being offended and end times. In Matthew 24, we've got this narration of all the stuff that's going to happen, you know, before he comes back. And it talks about wars and rumors of wars, you know, and nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences, earthquakes, and so on. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And there'll be also many false prophets and so on. So many will be offended. And this is what he says in the end time speech. Yeah. There's a big thing about being offended. The offense of the gospel. It's a big thing. The offense of the gospel. And again, let me see, what is offensive about Christianity? It's an awful lot, and it doesn't gel with the modern man anymore, modern woman, modern person. Don't know, you know, politically correct, what shall I say? Modern humanoid? I don't know. Anyway, man is a sinner. A woman as well. You are a sinner, yeah? And a lot of people can't deal with that. Yeah? If you tell to people, and I've seen this once, and I thought, what's the big issue? Yeah? You know, we're all sinners. Sin is in our lives, and people got... I've noticed people going ballistic, suggesting to them that they have done something wrong. And they have, all of us have. Yeah, this is no exception. Man cannot make it on its own. Yeah, so going to heaven, you cannot make it on its own. Again, for some people, that's a big offense. They just don't want to. They just don't want to know about this. They just don't want to know about this. We need repentance. You know, when is the last time you heard somebody preach about repentance? Is my first question. The next one is. You know, repentance, people, you know, go to somebody and say, repent and turn to Christ. This generation, zilch, they don't want to know. They just don't want to know. They are okay the way they are. They don't need a blood-filled gospel. They don't need somebody to die for them. You know, even the audacity of suggesting that Jesus was perfect and that he shed his blood and that he became the perfect sacrifice for your sins and that your sins have to be covered by the blood of Christ, that concept on its own is offensive, is highly offensive. And I'll go to a vegetarian and tell him about this. Yeah. That animals had to die to pay for your sin, innocent animals to pay for your sins. They go ballistic, but that is a modern code. There's a clear moral code in the Bible. People just don't want to know. They don't want to know. They live perfect the way they are. It's postmodernism. Anything goes. You know, if you want to shoot yourself up with heroin, that's okay. If you want to, you know, have lived sexually immoral, that's okay too. Yeah, you can do this, that's fine. You know, one night stands, no problem. This is pretty much what the postmodernism concept is. You make up your own morality and you trust that this is going to get you into eternity because fundamentally you're a good person. That's really what the idea is. And you coming along and you say, you are not, you're a sinner, you're going to go to hell, you need repentance. There's only one way to God. This way is Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And again, people get upset about this point because there's so many other ways. And people like Oprah Winfrey and others, they say, oh, many ways go to God. You know, everything goes, anything goes. So it's okay. And God demands holiness. You know, again, people can't deal with that. We can carry on. We are running out of time here. There's a very clear definition of male and female in the Word of God. Again, today, this is a big problem to people. They can't deal with that. We've got the authority of God, and as soon as you mention the word authority, people freak out. They don't want to know authority. They don't want to do it. They are their own best authority. Okay, we're coming to an end here. Christian War Room, christianwarroom.com. You can pick up this talk and other talks. God bless and have a great time. Visit our website. And don't forget to visit bpnradio.com as well. God bless and bye-bye.